It's turned on, I hope so. I just want to say what a blessing it is to have such a good church family that gives me the opportunities to grow in Christ, and them having the opportunity to preach before you all and have so many people be supportive and give me feedback. And I just hope I can convict you all or maybe move some hearts and minds today, and I pray for that every single time I get up to here to get up to the pulpit. I want to change something for you all. The sermon today I wrote it a while back, but I looked back at it a couple weeks ago before I went on vacation, but it's called A Fire. And I'll ask you this, and for the first part of my sermon, what do you think of a fire as a traditional aspect? If I was to ask you any day, what would a fire be? I mean, you think of a fire, you think wildfire, house fire, you think of something burning down, you see destruction. And even more recently, with all the protests, you see monuments getting burnt down. Nothing good comes out of fire. But is that really so? We look back at the wildfire example, I'll say, there are good fires. Whenever a wildfire sweeps through a forest, right after that, the growth comes back. I remember listening to a Ken Ham sermon, and he was talking about how he was debunking evolution. He was talking about how fast life could grow after. After a wildfire, all this new vegetation grows back. It makes way for everybody to regrow and to restart. And fire can mean life. Caitlin's home, whenever I go and visit them, they have a wood stove in their house. That house is provided heat by that wood stove. If they didn't have it, they'd freeze to death in the winter. Anybody would. And just like that, fire can be a rebirth. It can be used for anything. And fire has a good and destructive meaning. With everything, there is destruction. There is creation as well. And whenever I look at fire, I see that God has a fire, a wrath. He can consume all and be able to see what's happening. If we look at Jeremiah 4:4 for our first scripture, circumcise yourself to the Lord. Take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem. Test my fury, come forth like fire, and burn that none can quench it, because of the evil of your doings. God's fire cannot be avoided. The things that are happening in our country today, the babies getting aborted and murdered, the people that are coming forth saying that two men or two women together is a marriage. Well, that's not a marriage at all. That's sacrilege to us. I mean, that is nothing that points to the church. How do we call that marriage? And God's going to strike them all down whenever it's time for the rapture to come. Whenever I get up to the heavens, I get up and I have a new sanctified body. I'm with all the people I've loved and missed. This world will be purged with fire eventually, and it'll restart again, and there'll be new rebirth of life. God's fire will not be avoided that. They cannot do anything to win back God except being saved and to repent from those things. If they don't sin or don't repent from these sins, sadly, they're going to be doomed. And that's why we witness to them. We witness to them so maybe we can give them that new spark, that new flame, the new life that they can depend on. Something that isn't so self-destructive that they want to ruin their whole life. They don't want the child in their household. That can change their whole mindset. People say, I don't want a child these days. I just look at them, and I mean, how could you not want to see somebody grow and you be able to make a light in the world? How is that possible? And I remember there's another scripture here. The Apostle Paul addressed the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 3:10 and 15. First Corinthians 3:10-15. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than what is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon the foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. We see the two-sidedness of fire here. God's fire, though it's wrath, I've talked about Caitlin with this the other day, too. I think last night we were talking to my grandmother, and Then goes her brother and sister-in-law, which I had never even met in my life, but we had a good conversation about God and what's going on in our country. And though we see so much destruction, we know that God's in control. Sadly, we don't want to see this destroyed, but we're learning from this. While they're going destroying, we know that those monuments don't matter. We just know we need to uphold history so we can learn to teach these people the way from right and wrong, that we can continue to be a light to them so they don't continue to just destroy everything about them. I mean, you see, I wrote a study in homosexuality. Me and Caitlin discussed this as well. Me and her discuss a lot of things on this type of matters. We're very charged about it as we go to campuses and we see all these sinful acts. But we get there and we look at how many people have mental health issues with that. And I mean, this is a growing nation that we have. Mental health is all about it. We is like, oh, I have depression. I have anxiety. I have everything upon the earth. The only thing you have a problem with is sin. And God needs to purge you of that sin, and he will. Whenever you're convicted, he'll burn that away. You'll be reborn as a new creature in Christ. You'll have a flame for the God Almighty and cling to that and live upon it. Just like how you cook with a flame in the olden days, you'll cook with the flame that God gives you, and all your food will be from him. All your warmth will be from him. All your home's cherishments will be centered around him, because that fire is going to keep you alive. If we also even look at the law systems, how they're built, we see that back from the last verse, whenever we look back at 1 Corinthians 3:10 to 15 with the fire, we have to follow God or we're going to really be facing some real wrath. I mean, he is the all-powerful God. And we think about how bad hell's internal flame, I mean, who put that to be a possibility? God created everything. He's going to condemn those who do not follow, and our law systems are strayed from that even. When we look at the Ten Commandments, our laws are originally centered about them. We don't murder for a reason, but now we're allowing that. We're starting to quench the word of God, and that's quenching the flame. We're acting like it's okay and making our own Bible and law system, and we're getting so far away. I look at myself, and I'm like, where has this country gotten? I remember maybe even the 1900s, before I was even born, I'd have been a lot happier, because you know what? It would have been horrible to look upon a baby being murdered. That person could be the next president that could be able to change the world, and they're taking away the life of somebody who hasn't even had a second to breathe. They say, I can't breathe. Well, that baby couldn't breathe either. These systems, though, I know they're getting tarnished, but they'll burn eventually. And I already have my system, and it won't be burned away. The Bible is always going to stay here, whether they like it or not. They'll answer to every single thing about that, and that I'm assured of, and I feel bad for what's going to happen to them. But I have to preach them. I have to witness to them so that it isn't happening. But you know what? I'm assured, because I have no question in where my morals lie. And just as the fires of hell will consume that sinner, I'm letting God's fire consume me. Whenever I started feeling the call to preach, I remembered the fact that I was just on fire. I couldn't read enough. And sometimes I would wake up 4 o'clock at night, or even stay away the whole night. I would read chapters upon chapters. I remember, like, maybe even last Thursday, I read 4 chapters out of John, and I think it was just started at the beginning. I was just like, you know what? I haven't really read through that book. I read 7 chapters in that night, and then finally went to sleep, and only then would God be satisfied, because I learned something from that. And that fire that he's given me is to sustain me. If I wasn't to read that, my spirit would have starved. If we look at another thing, whenever we don't read, where we're going at, we don't grow. Whenever we stray from God, it usually starts when we start looking at other things away from him. We divert things. We have idols that come into our lives. Anything that's not the Bible is an idol. We get away from these things, and I look at myself, whenever I strayed away from God, I got out of church, I didn't know where I was going. I was spiritually starved, and I was out of my mind. I didn't know what decisions I was making. I was being self-destructive. And I had to cling back. And I might have even got off on a tangent here, but I guess my next verse I'll look at is Revelations 20, 7 through 10. Revelations 20, 7 through 10. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather from together to battle, the number of whom is at the sand of the sea. And they went upon the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city. Power came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. I think the reason why I wrote this, and I'm looking back at it, is my mom, she listens to so many different preachers, and she always is a big critic about it. And I finally look back at it, and I'm like, I understand why. There's so many false prophets coming around, and they will all be cast into the fire. And I just pray for the person who's falsely reminded that I'm a Christian. Barry, really, your life's what telling it. You have a life story to play out. What is your life story, your life song saying about you? They say they do one thing and live their life another way. How can you stand by your actions when you preach a different thing? If you're preaching, oh, I want my fiance to be safe when she drives, but you're speeding and going 100 miles yourself, and she got caught, but I speed sometimes too. And where am I to judge her whenever I can't follow the same thing? I have to let my life speak for Christ before I can go and preach for him. Before I even get up on this pulpit, if I'm doing anything sinful that is open sin that I know of, I'll be struck down with fire as well. May come in the form of any manner, but I won't last long. And the further I get away, if I did, the faster this fire will burn. It has more coal and more ignition to it. And one day with all these false prophets, our world is going to burn, and I'm waiting for that day to come. We're getting so very, very close to it. I mean, it may seem destructive right now, but I just can't wait to see the destruction that happens when this world's made right again. What a dream it seems like. I dream about heaven, and I'm like, how could the earth be anywhere like that? What was the Garden of Eden like? How can we look upon this world and think it's beautiful whenever it was all tainted? I go to the Creation Museum, and I learn about the fact that everything was perfect. Everybody was a vegetarian, even all the animals. The world would have been a much different place. I wouldn't have to go kill a cow to go eat. I wouldn't have to do any of these things. There was creatures that no longer exist now. I wonder where the common ancestor was. What is God's plan for what the earth was originally like? I want to know what Adam and Eve experienced, and we're going to see that whenever the world burns again. And this is all because of the first sin. This fire that God has, his wrath, is a resentment. He is a jealous God. And he's still jealous over the fact that we made that first sin and we rebelled against him. We've got these falsehoods and this false authority that we've gone away from God and that we can self-sustain ourselves. And just like being lukewarm, he's going to spit it out, and I can't wait. If we look at Romans 2, 1 through 3, Romans 2, 1 through 3, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For within thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doeth the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man that judgest them, which do such things and dost the same, that shall escape the judgment of God. We can't escape the judgment of God. And just as I was talking about the situation with my fiance, Caitlin, I can't escape the fact that I too speed. I can't judge her for the same things that I do. And the reason why is because I can't look at it either. I have to be right with God and what he says. Because if I'm not, then what else do I have to base off of, if I can speak correctly, based off of. He is the ultimate lawgiver. He has made all laws that are true and to be upheld. The Bible, as in a book that is to be withheld through time, it is with worthy recognition of any circumstance, any time. And he's the only one we can look to. I even argue with my mother about this sometimes. She tries to argue the Bible with me, and I love her to death. But she talks about, what is the relevance of the Bible? I mean, we don't own mules anymore. Well, if you look at it the real way, there's a difference between it. And it comes down to where your salvation lies. Where are you with your path of God? How are you going to understand it? And I look at the destruction and I pray for them mostly because of the fact they don't realize how destructive they are. They don't know what they're doing, really. Partially, they probably feel bad eventually if they're to look back at their life and they're finally being judged at the judgment seat at the throne. But then it's too late. There's nothing you can change then. And what can we expect of them until we preach to them and allow them that chance of salvation? If we don't act without God, or if we act without God just as they do, we would be led to do the same thing, create the same issues, and would not help the situation. We cannot exact judgment, as it will lead to our own demise, according to God, that if we do not follow him and do his judgments and not look at our own hearts, we have precognitive recollection of certain things. You look at somebody, say somebody comes in with piercings and their hair all dyed, you think they're a thug. Well, God calls us to preach and evangelize to them no matter what, and we can't make that pre-recognition. And yes, they have altered their body, and that's the only judgment I can make physically without talking to that person first. I know that they have altered the body that God had made beautiful in the first making of the womb. That's the only thing I can base my judgment off of. We are not to enact judgment unless we are under the authority of the Bible and we have a rightness with God. If we are not right with God, who are we to judge one another, to throw a stone whenever we ourselves cannot uphold ourselves to the same standard? If we look at James 4:11 through 12, we can look at abandonment of absolute authority when it comes to the wrath of God where we're at today. James 4:11 through 12. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judgest the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgest one another? We want to look at the Bible and the law and question somebody who was there from the beginning and made everything. And we question, is that really the real law? How ignorant is that? How prideful is that? That we can look at something where somebody was there from the creation and say, you don't know. You looked upon everything. And how foolish is that? That is silly to think that you would know better. I just don't understand. If somebody is having an argument with one another and you come in last minute and say that's not the case, whenever you're going to add fuel to the fire and change everything, and we have these false prophets coming in, they weren't there and they're changing the word of God and they're twisting it to fit their own agenda. This isn't a feel-good fest. This is so we actually get more right with God. If I continue on a sinful path, I will not be able to please him. I still can't please him. And I do as best as I can, but I can never fully please him until I'm with him. But because we are called to be with him and he is our Lord, our shepherd, our father, we must obey. Just as a child with their parents, we must obey and follow that absolute authority and we must cling to his fire. We turn to 1 Timothy 1:17. Let's see here. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and amen. Like I've referenced before, our God is so almighty, and how could we ever question his word? And he already declares to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible. He is omnipotent. His eyes are everywhere. He sees all. He knows all. He has created all, and he even knew it before he had to see it. That is an amazing God. And wise be honor and glory forever and amen. I can't wait to meet the man that did this all. I mean, I'm just going to be in awe and I'll have to fall to my knees because there's no way I can be baffled to understand, even stand in my feet. My legs will shake under the things that I see this man do. And I see them throughout my life now, but to even gaze upon anything that is in the next place in life where we get past this vapor that is life into heaven, the kingdom, I have to fall to my knees to someone so powerful. There's no way I could stand. Amen. I just pray that our nation gets back to this absolute authority. I would love to see every person that I can imagine, even though it is said to be few, to be saved. I want to see them be saved. I want to see this fire wash away all these things, and that the only water and life and fire that we have now is with God, that we only have him as a flame. And another thing to think about is though we're waiting on that moment, we still have a responsibility to keep fighting. Though it may seem like we're charged and everything and everybody's going to find any fault in us, we can't just quench ourselves to bow down to these demons that are grappling with their lives. It's so easy to bow down before Facebook whenever they won't let you post about God, but they'll let you post about corona fake deaths. I mean, some of these deaths are overplayed. They say that they've been over another thing, and we need to be with people. And yes, this virus is real, and parts of it aren't real. It's become a political thing. And we have to be with these people to let them know we cannot be scared, and we have to stand as a united front, be safe with one another, respect one another, but also at the same time learn from the situation to where we don't split our nation in half over a piece of cloth. That is foolish as well. And to let the skin color, your pigmentation, to split this nation. All in the single year, the foolishness I've seen. And it's sad that even the children of this nation can see that the parents that have raised these people, There's children, Christians, who see their grown parents acting this way. And that's a shame. Humans themselves have a fire too. We start out acting like God and we have a power of destruction that we see ourselves with. But how weak it is. These law systems, they're told to be burning. They're told to be washed away with the fire. And yet we're trying to make it possible to abort a baby at 9 months old. How is that not murder? Even when the child comes out screaming, hollering for their parent, next second they can draw their last breath and their only breath. Romans 1:25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. This goes back to absolute authority again. We've changed the truth of God. We sinners, we lowly sinners, allow this to happen. And it's been a snowball effect since the first sin. When one sin's committed, it snowballs into more and more and more. And one lie leads to another, just as sin does. Because to lie, the widest lie, the simplest lie, is a sin. And because you lie once and you get away with it, what are you probably going to do to the same person again to get away with it, to make it easier for yourself? But is it easier in the end? Because one day you're going to be sitting in that throne of judgment. You have to answer to that simple lie. Did I owe you $5? No, I don't remember that at all. But what if that was their meal that they needed to give their kid and they didn't have enough cash for the rest of the week? You didn't know that, because we don't know anything. We're so insignificant. In a turning point here, again, we start with a fire. But what happens to this fire? We are saved. And what happens with us? If we look to Luke 24:32. And they said one to another, did not our hearth burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? This is a reference point to the salvation that we have, that we experience, where our fire is no longer towards destruction. We don't seek to cut down the next person that's in line to us. We want to have an all-consuming fire change us completely. From the ashes, we are made a new creature. We are no longer bound by the sins that our forefathers have made. And yes, we still have to answer to those, but our God loves us enough that he washed us with that blood. We are now saved, and we can now urge ourselves to grow in the Word, urge ourselves to become a better person, to become a better individual for Christ, because he's done everything for us. And what are we called to do other than to serve him and do what he asked for us? Because I know I couldn't get eternal life any other way. I've done nothing to be able to comprehend that gift, nothing to even be able to achieve it, not even one step, but I've taken multiple steps backwards for sure. And sometimes, though, we falter, and the flame, if we think back to that analogy, flames will flicker. Sometimes the oxygen in the air will collapse on it, but it'll reignite with the right spark. And this goes to another thing, is if we were going to be lukewarm. If we look to Revelation 3:16, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. We will falter as we are humans. We are designed flawed because of our mistake from the first sin. And we can't ever allow that flame to come back. Those embers are still remaining in my heart because I have this flesh body. My mind is still carnal. I cannot ever just throw that wood away. It's always going to be a possibility that I put the flame back on there. I put some gasoline to reignite that fire with combustion. That I do something so horrible and heinous to my God. And I'll just cry because why could I do that? I falter sometimes, and I'm lukewarm in that aspect, and we will be spit out if we continue to stay in that way. For anyone who may be here or even hearing today, we pray that you can get right with God or that you even have that salvation experience, because there is no better gift. There will never be anything better than that. You can give me the finest gold watch, the biggest house, but none of it will make me happy. I'll still feel empty inside. Nothing is ever going to fix anything in this world other than Christ our Lord. And it's such a blessing to see how many people are being saved, how the people from before are leading the next generation. And this generation is going to be one of the weakest ones, but we have to continue to be with our youth and continue to upbring them in church with Christ and allow them salvation. Some people don't even hear the Bible by the time they're old enough. I mean, I was raised in church till I was about 5 years old, and then we abandoned it. A preacher changed. And then we left. And all that preacher taught was the truth, but I didn't have any control over that, and then I finally got back into church in freshman year, and what a blessing it was. But even then, I could have been without it for many more years. I could have been never exposed to it or even had the thought that I want to go to church. I want to follow my brother and learn some teachings, because something I'm doing right now isn't right. I can't fix this. I can't fix anything on my own. And I need God, the master crafter, builder, one before all, to judge me and to let me know where I'm wrong, because I can't see it. We must be on hot and on fire for God. We mustn't be lukewarm, fueling both fires for what is worse than being truthful to your own self and being cold. To anyone lying to themselves, I pray that they can come back to God, that they can see, because it is so sad to see somebody who thinks they have salvation in their grasp, that they've been granted this gift, but their life does not speak to it. They don't live in the way they should. And I'm not judging that person, but I pray that they can get to the point where they can see the faults in their actions, that they see them ever, that they can be able to help this world more, because we need more people. We need more Christians. And I just pray that this church can grow, that we can all work together as a unified front in this community, and to see change one person at a time even. To do so would change this whole community. There'd be no more bars open, no more drunk driving accidents, no more estranged families like my own. I grew up with 3 half-brothers, and one day I get to junior year pre-calculus and I wouldn't have the experience of meeting my half-brother's half-brother. I shared a brother with somebody I never met before. And how confusing was that whenever I sat there that day and realized this? To be able to change the world one point at a time and do this. God wants his children to burn with a passion to learn more of him, and I can't get enough, and I pray that is the same for you all. And I want to learn as much truth as I can, because the truth is the way to the light, the way to the world that is above us, that the one that is actually designed the right way and the stayed the right way too. This earth used to be that way, and I can't wait to see what it was meant to be. And by the grace of God, I thank God that I can see these things, that I am saved, and that I have the people around me sitting here today that can relish in these thoughts, that they can feel convicted of these things and be able to help me in my journey in war against sin. By the grace of God, I am saved. I am what I am. I hear that all the time, and that always sits with me. I am forever grateful for all the things Christ has given me, for how he has protected me, how he has given me the armor to protect myself and defend myself, and not only defend myself, but fight against the sin that I see taking and consuming my friends, brethren, and family, and how I want to be able to be the one to allow light into their life. And no, I can't change it, and I pray that the Holy Spirit's with them, but they have to hear that first preaching, and I want to do that for every single person I see. And that is my life's testimony now. I have to preach the gospel to everyone, go out to and fro to all corners of the world and preach the gospel, because that is the only way to eternal salvation and one with Christ. And I can't thank God enough for the greatest of all gifts, salvation. And as I close, forever I'm finding comfort with this warmth of this fire. I'm still clinging to some of the ashes every so often from the past, but I push those aside any moment I hear the gospel. I look at the Bible, and I pray that you all can continue to do so as well with me, that we can grow and push another to not look back ever, to learn from the mistakes of the past, but not let them bound us, and to let them ignite more flame to grow to be better, more conviction, and not let that condemn you to put you back to where you were. And with that, I guess I'll hand it back over to you, Brother Tony, and thank you so much for letting me preach.